Hello. Thanks for connecting to the teachings of Prophet Lovi Elias. May you be blessed by this teaching and may your life never be the same. To get the most value from this word, empty your heart and be ready to receive. If you have been impacted by this ministry and want to sow into it, please visit prophetlovi.com or revelationchurchla.org. Now here's our prophet, Dr. Lovi Elias.
James chapter 5 verse 16.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
You may be seated in heavenly places.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Now, today I'm going to teach you something that the Lord spoke to me to share with you. And that is privileges.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor, say privileges.
Privileges.
I can't hear you.
Privileges.
I can't hear you.
Privileges.
There are privileges that children of God have, but they're not aware of. And not only are there privileges, but there are people that are more privileged than others in the kingdom of God. The issue is so many people think that everybody is the same in the kingdom of God, and that has made people lazy and incapable of rising up to the place that God has called them to be in. You have to understand that God himself does not treat everybody the same. God does not treat everybody the same. God does not minister to everybody the same. God has favorites.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Anyone who tells you God has no favorites, they lied to you. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm God's favorite.
I am God's favorite.
Some of you are looking at each other with a... Look at somebody, tell them, I'm God's favorite.
I am God's favorite.
Shake somebody up and tell them, I am God's favorite.
I am God's favorite.
I am God's favorite.
Now, you need to understand this, because if you don't understand this, you will not know how to get in the good graces with God. You will not know how to secure that spot with God. You see, when Jesus was brought into the world, when God took upon flesh, please turn off the air. Who is doing this to me? It's cold. Chai. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, he possessed two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. His divine nature was God reincarnated into flesh. But the human nature had 100% the DNA of David. Because Mary, some of you don't know this, that Mary also descends from David. In fact, Mary and Joseph are relatives. They are distant relatives. They all come from the same place. So Jesus had human DNA, but he also had his divine nature. But even though he carried a divine nature that already gave him a particular privilege spiritually, it did not remove or minimize his need to position himself to a place that God the Father will have to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It means that when he was born growing up, he was just considered a regular human by God. He was protected by God because of a specific destiny that was upon him. You are alive because God is protecting a destiny that is within you.
Amen. Amen.
There is somewhere you're going. There is something God is about. I feel like I'm talking to myself. So God kept you, protected you, watched over you, so that you may touch a certain spiritual dimension.
Amen.
I don't know if you can hear me. How do we know that Jesus was regular when he was young? When he went to his own city and he was preaching to them, they said, is this not the son of Joseph? Anyone who called him son of Mary, they knew that he was divine because Mary gave birth to him while she was a virgin. But when they say son of Joseph, they were undermining him. Because Joseph in his community, he was a good man, but he was a nobody. He was not a great name. They said, is this not the son of Joseph that we saw running around here? It means that he was normal. When Jesus, when they took him to the temple at a certain time of his life, they were lost. They were looking for him. They found him after a few days. When they found him asking questions to the priests, not teaching them. It means that he was learning. There are things he didn't know. The Bible literally tells you, and the boy Jesus grew what? In wisdom and what? Stature. It means physically and mentally. He was maturing into something. That is why the Bible says it like this in Philippians, I believe. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Even though he was made in the form of flesh, or he took upon the form of flesh, he saw it not robbery to be equal with God. It means there was a certain awakening in the man Jesus that caused the Christ, the Messiah, the divine to be awakened.
Amen, amen.
Many
amen.
Of you don't know who you are. You don't understand where you're going. And this is why everything inside of you is undermined. Not by the enemy, but by you. Can you hear me? So, there are certain privileges that are attached to a certain dimension when one wakes up. Because indeed, God has favorites. God loved Jacob so much. And said, Jacob, I love, Esau, I don't like. But Esau is the one who is prospering. Esau is the one who is projected to be blessed. God is not intervening for Jacob until Jacob positions himself to become God's favorite. Some of you, you think this thing is all about prayer, is all about fasting, but it is more than that. Imagine God is saying, I love Jacob, but he's not doing anything about anything. And Jacob understood that his positioning did not permit him, even though he asked from God, he couldn't get it. So he had to sneak his way closer to God through his father, using even deception. I don't know if you can hear me. That he did everything. When the blessing came upon him, now God started dealing with him, say, hey, by the way, you are a nation. Why didn't you tell me that whole time? So you are willing for a nation to perish. You are willing a nation to be fathered by the wrong person. Yet you say you love me. You see, many times people will say, oh, well, if God loves me, why is this happening? If God loves me, why is this? No, no, no. You cannot receive what you don't have the capacity to bear.
That's good. Teaching good.
Your prayer doesn't matter. God is measuring your capacity. Some of you love to help people, but the truth is you cannot be a nurse. It's true. When you have to clean people and look at them dying and you have to be there and you know that they're going to die, but you're encouraged. Not everybody can do that. One of Jay, when what did he do again? He worked like with the pathologies. And he had to deal with like corpses. I remember the first day that he had to go into a scene where it was just somebody's body was abandoned and... Man, he came back that day, he was destroyed. He was not himself. He had to leave work early because your capacity. There's a lot of things that we would love to do, but our capacity will not permit us. So God also, when he looks at you, he looks, okay, you are praying well. You are singing well. You are worshiping well. Mm. To worship you. He says, all that is on point. But your capacity is not there. You see, prayer builds character, but not capacity. Situations build capacity.
It's good. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't gone through anything, you don't have capacity.
Amen. That's good.
So God preserves you to put you in situations so that capacity can increase. And when capacity can increase, then you can take advantage of spiritual privileges. Now, everybody prays. But God tells you clearly, whoever has received righteousness in its totality, I will answer his prayer before yours. He said it without shame. The prayer of a righteous person matters most. So if your understanding of righteousness is not great, it means if I pray and you're praying, he will answer me before you.
Good teaching.
look at you. You see, the issue is this. Is many of you think it is faith that God is answering. You see, faith is an act, and that act becomes part of a person. You don't invoke faith. Faith becomes part of you. You see, when Haggai had run away with Ishmael, and she was thirsty, and the boy was thirsty there in the wilderness, she cried to God, cried to God, cried to God, cried to God. God did not answer a single thing. God didn't even hear her. She laid the boy on one side so that she can die while she's not watching. She looked away so that the baby would die without not watching a child die. The Bible says, and the boy cried unto God, but yet the child is dying. It wasn't the child was lifeless. About the point of death, said, Lord. The Bible says an angel came from heaven and said, hey guy, what are you doing here? I heard the voice of the boy calling and I came. There is a certain level when you get to.
Come on.
Your voice is like 911 to heaven.
Amen.
See.
That when you say Jesus, something happens.
Amen.
Immediately. This is a privilege that God has ordained for his people. This is a privilege that is available. This is something that God has for me and for you and for you and for you and for you and for each and every one of us. It is something God has made available. 100%. But do you have the capacity and what it takes to get to that place is the question. You will find people, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, nothing is happening. Father, 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 you can do it, Father. You can do it. Do it, Lord. Nothing is happening. Somebody else will come and do. It's done and it's done. Huh? Then immediately doctrine started rising. Some people are using juju. Because they called the name of Jesus many times, it didn't work. So they expect everybody else to be the same. But they don't understand that we have been privileged by God.
Amen.
We paid the price and we did what it took in order for our voice to matter in the spirit. I pray that after today, your voice will have weight in the spirit.
I receive.
Amen. Receive.
Your voice will matter in the spirit.
I receive.
That when you call unto God, God will respond.
Amen. I receive.
Receive it.
Sit for 2 seconds. Sit for 2 seconds. Faith becomes a part of a person. It doesn't become what a person does. That's why faith doesn't work for you. It's because you are trying to do something, but that thing has not become part of you. There is a big difference. Quoting scripture is good. Memorizing scripture is good. That is not faith. I'll say that again. You see, the desire of God has always been one thing, that the word will become flesh. If that word has not become part of you and your reactions, you have no faith. It doesn't matter how much scripture you know. No matter the amount of scriptures you know, they are of no use, they have no avail, and they cannot produce anything for you. So in order to understand this dimension of faith, it's actually the easiest one that makes your prayer be responded to. You see, some of you think, okay, it's because of the sins I've done, God doesn't hear me. That's a lie. How can God hear somebody in the world saying, Lord, I am ready to come to you? Isn't that person praying while they are a sinner? But you who has received Jesus, you pray but you believe it is sin keeping you. Yet somebody who is in the world lost saying, Father, I come before you. He's still hearing them, but what is making God hear them? It is one understanding that I have been in the wrong place and this is where I need to be. God will respond to faith. Amen. Your prayer is not what God is listening to. It is faith that attracts God. But there is a particular faith, because that person who is coming to Jesus is not somebody who knows Jesus. Doesn't even know the word of God. But they have enough to make God give them a new life. Yet it doesn't mean at that moment they are perfect, but God still heard them. So it means that our understanding of how this thing works should be different. Let's look at this quick, if we can. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20. Listen to what he says. I am crucified with Christ. Anybody that is going to function in this dimension, you have to understand that you are dead.
Amen.
The issue is, Christians, they hear die to self, they think it means deny. They misunderstand what deny self means.
Come on, teach
it. Self is talking about the soul. Because the consciousness, the understanding of a man is within the soul. When God breathed into Adam, Adam became a living soul. He became self. That is why Adam could make decisions by himself. He could obey God or disobey God. Self is the heart. To deny self means that every tendency of your heart that is contrary to what Jesus has done,
so good.
Die to it.
So good. Amen.
So if Jesus says you are dead, you say, yes, sir, I am dead. You see, the problem is this. You are trying to please God who set a law for the living. Any living person that does this, you are sinning and you're going to hell. Anybody that does this, this is going to happen. Anyone that does this, this is going to happen. So God found a solution. He said, okay, because I cannot undo what I did, my word is forever. I am going to tell them they are dead. If they embrace death, then the law can no longer apply to them.
Amen.
Teaching good, prophet.
I feel like I'm talking to myself. So what will stop somebody by the law? What will strangle somebody by the law? You, it will do nothing to you simply because of one thing. You're dead. You see, you don't owe the devil anything because no one collects anything from the dead. So generational curses should end with you because you are dead.
Come on.
Amen. And
I feel like I'm talking to myself. The cycles of your family should stop with you because you are dead. Can you hear me? So listen to what Paul is saying. He's saying it like this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So Jesus is, listen to what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you are seeing a walking zombie. The one who is moving this body is not me. There is a spirit called Jesus, the spirit of the living God, that is inside of me. Now let me explain to you why when you get to this dimension, your prayer is answered quickly. The Bible says, deep calleth unto what?
Deep.
I can't hear you.
Deep calleth unto deep.
Deep calleth unto what?
Deep.
So if Jesus, who is God, was on earth, every time he opened his mouth, his Father was already answering. So now that same Jesus says, you are dead and I am living inside of you. So if you pray for that from that place of Jesus is the one that is talking.
Amen, amen, amen.
Some of you didn't get it. Sit for 2 seconds. Deep calleth unto the deep. God will always be moved by himself, not by a person. The reason why God was moved by his son Jesus is because Jesus is God in the flesh. The reason why God hearkened to the voice of Jesus is because Jesus was him in the flesh. So now Jesus found a strategy. He said, to make me hear you, I am going to be inside of you. So now when you open your mouth and pray, it is no longer you in need. It is me that is...
Amen, amen, amen.
Come on.
You see, some of you are still sitting because you don't get it. Sit for 2 seconds. Why do you think the Bible says it like this? I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And the saints will ask the Lord, when did we ever meet you? In 2022. You walked on earth more than 2,000 years ago. When did we do this? He said, hey, when you were doing it to your brethren. Teaching. So there are certain people that are Jesus walking. Eh?
You're teaching.
Some people miss it. Some people, when you aid, you are aiding Jesus. Some people, when you aid. Yeah. Sit for 2 seconds. You see, this is where now religion begins to fight you. And this is where God says, die to self. Because what Paul is saying, listen to what he's saying. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So right now, if you're using your faith, you are failing.
Glory, glory, glory.
Now, some of you didn't hear it. Paul is saying it like this. He's saying, I am not using my faith anymore. I am using the faith of Christ. So what did Jesus believe as a man? That is what you need to believe. I feel like people can't hear what I'm trying to... Is it too much or is it going over your head?
We hear you.
I believe Philippians 2:4. Yes. Philippians 2:4, quick. We are coming back here. Philippians 2:4. Philippians 2:4. You are squandering your own. Is it 2:5? Is it 2:6? 2:5? 2:5. Let's go to 5. The thing is this. This is the issue. You are struggling and squandering your privileges because you don't understand what Jesus did. You see, the problem with the gospel in the church is this. It ended at the cross, yet the cross was the beginning. It ended at the cross, yet the cross was the beginning. Let me give you an example. I was saying yesterday, one of my sons just did a big achievement whereby his career is now in music is going. I've known this son of mine for years. I've seen him fasting. I've seen him praying. I've seen him in error. I've seen him in perfection. And I know what God has for him. Amen. So I saw what, and we've been knowing what is going on, but now the world is starting to know. So I took the picture of him. I posted it, and I posted what he had just done. Some people are offended. Oh, how could you? How can this be glorifying God? I just asked them one question. Was Rahab glorifying God?
Deep. Deep.
You see, the issue is this. We are fighting with two doctrines in the church. And this is the issue that the Lord Jesus had also when he was on earth. There are two doctrines at play. One is the doctrine of men. What men believe God ought to be like. And then there is God who is wondering, why are you saying things about me that I don't even care for?
Come on.
I did not appoint you to represent my views. I have represented my own views in my word. Are you listening to me? Sit for 2 seconds. So the doctrine of men and their imagination of God is killing people who have been destined by God to get to a certain place. Let me explain it to you this way. Rahab was a prostitute for a long time. She was not trying to quit that career. It was not in the plans.
True.
Can I speak the truth? Is it okay? So, I am saying this out of love because religion is killing people. Because religion assumes they know how God deals with people. As if Jesus found them on the holy mountain fasting and praying. Are you listening to me? Religion is killing people. And religion is killing people simply because people have now become the managers of God's destinies for others. So they will sit down and tell you what is acceptable in your own personal life and journey, not knowing what God wants to do with you.
Come on.
And many of you, because you have not died, what men say about you controls you.
So good. Teaching good.
So when God looks at you, he knows, I cannot give you what I really want to give you because you are still influenced by people's thoughts. You are still influenced by what people say. Now capture this. Cease it for 2 seconds. Rahab is doing her thing at the city gates. But nevertheless, listen to this. Nevertheless, she was anointed.
True.
She didn't know it. She didn't even know that what she was doing, she was actually positioned by God. That doesn't mean God was condoning what she was doing. But God uses everything for his good.
Come on, so good.
What else will prove that God is good and God is great if he cannot take a mess and turn it into a message? If he is only limited to those who are perfect, how does that make him God? If he's limited to only those who don't sin, how does that make him God? Isn't God greater than sin? And people always say, your sin is blocking God. That is the biggest lie ever told. God spoke to evil kings in the old. God went to Pharaoh, warned him, gave him prophecy for the next 7 years.
True.
Yet he didn't even know who God was. God went to another Pharaoh in the time of Abraham and spoke to him. And you see that that king knew that he was talking to God. You with your religion, you can't even hear God. Yet people who had nothing to do with your God came to know God because he came to them. Yet they were idol worshippers, but God showed up. And they left everything and followed him. But you want people to be found on the mountain of God. How does that make him God? So Rahab is doing whatever she's doing. Joshua sends spies. Spies go in there. They shut down the city. They are looking for them. Rahab looks at them. She hides them. They knock. Boom, boom, boom. Have you seen some ninjas? She said, who? No, I haven't. I haven't seen them. Anyway, what does she know? Boom. They moved on. Then she led the spies out of the city. When they got back, they gave the report. But they didn't even remember to save her. It is God that came and told them, hey.
Yes, yes, true.
When you go into that city, don't forget Rahab. She is righteous to me. Righteousness is unto God, not unto men.
Yes.
No, you didn't hear what I'm saying. Sit down for 2 seconds. Because according to the law of Moses, she should be stoned. Haven't you ever asked yourself why it is called the law of Moses, not the law of God? The law of who?
Moses.
God came to Moses. And spoke to Moses. Moses said, God, these people, if you give them, if they understand grace now, you will be disgraced. God gave him permission to put more than, I don't know, 3,000 Deuteronomical laws to keep them in line. They were not laws that God gave him. It was laws that him himself, some were divine, some were not. It was to restructure them because for more than 400 years, they lived in another country, adapted other things, and they were not what they were to be, they used to be. God wanted to remold them into a nation. So Moses said, let me constitute this thing. That is why the Bible calls it the law of Moses, not the law of God. The general law of God is the Ten Commandments, and that is summarized in love. Anyone who walks in love will not break any of those. It's that simple.
Amen.
But the other things are law of Moses. And Joshua was a mentee, a spiritual son of Moses. God comes and says, hey, Joshua, when you go in there, remember Rahab. Are you listening? Rahab. She is righteous to me, not to you, to me. When you get there, rescue her. She's righteous to me. That woman ended up being the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus. That is the mother of David. Look at your clapping. So God was okay with not picking somebody else, picking her. And if you know God, God is not creating solutions on the fly. It means this was destined. And maybe if she wasn't doing that, she would not be able to marry. She would have been married with children. So So God allowed her to be lost so that God can direct her.
Wow.
For destiny.
Wow.
Deep. You're delivering us, sir.
God comes to Samson. God tells Samson's parents, you will give birth to a son. He'll be a mighty man. He'll be a prophet. He'll be a Nazarene. Never cut his hair because he's in covenant with me before he's even born. My spirit is already inside of him. The law they have is you shall not marry outside of your people. You can't. You will only marry people within your people. One day, Uncle Samson is rolling around. Passing by the Philistines, he sees a young lady. And he falls in love with her. He can't even understand what is going on with him. He goes to his father. And mother says, Mom and Dad, I need you guys to help me marry somebody. Because in those days, even in African culture, if you want to marry, you go to your elders to go and talk to the other elders in order to make this happen.
Deep.
You need representation. So he went to his parents and says, guys, I love this woman. Can you please go and set this up for me? Because I want to marry her. So every time people tell you that Samson had issues, they are lying to you. Because the story tells you differently. You see, this is the problem of watching movies. Read your Bible. Soberly with the Holy Spirit. Samson tells his parents that the parents starts arguing with him. What is wrong with you that you want to marry a woman from an uncircumcised Philistine? These people who worship other gods. And at that time, the Philistines were oppressing them. He said, I don't know. But she just has done something to my... I don't understand it. And remember, Samson was a spiritual man. The next verse says, for his father and mother knew not that it was the Lord's doing. But the Lord's own law said, don't marry them. So, God is saying, don't marry them. Right? But it's the same God making Samson fall in love so he can find an occasion to destroy the Philistine. So, I just asked the person simple. Rahab, was she glorifying God or not? Are you saying so? I said, no. Listen, the point of this story is simple. You don't know what God is doing with people. Don't be the judge of jury of people's personal life. Preach Jesus to them. You don't know what God is doing with them. Let me just give you an example. Imagine somebody like... Let me use somebody that was the greatest star that lived. Let's use somebody like Michael Jackson. At the height of his career, everybody thought different things about him, which is fine. They may be true, they may be not. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant with what I'm about to say. Imagine if he came out and said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Nobody filled more arenas than this man. Do you know how many people would have come to Christ? But when you're busy illuminating everybody, then they look, they say, God is calling me. But this is how these Christians are. Do you know what Gandhi said? I love their Jesus, but I hate their Christians. The way Jesus is in the Bible and the way Christians are, two different things. There are so many people that should be so much farther, but we are teaching people to become alive, yet allowing them to die. God wants you dead, not alive. I'm sorry, I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Because the moment you die, you no longer deal with sin. You you are trying to keep something you can't. The more you try to keep the Ten Commandments, the more alive you become, and you become alive in sin. The Bible tells you that. I don't know why people don't read their Bible. This is in your Bible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice he did not say, pray for it. He did not say, fast about it. He said, allow it. Allow this mindset. Not the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the funny things is this. Apostle, you know this. Daddy, you know this. Is somebody can have the Holy Spirit and frustrate the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can be in you. And you can frustrate the Holy Spirit. Frustrate him. You can literally annoy the Holy Spirit because everything he wants to do, no. 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 Everything that he wants to do, you will frustrate it. Why? There is a mindset you're lacking. Not prayer. You see, faith is more connected to how you process. Because how you process things is how you act. When faith has become part of you, it becomes how you think. It is no longer what you think is right, but it's naturally just how your mind functions. When you see a demon, do you think the blood of Jesus first? Or when you see a demon, you know, this thing is under my feet. What are you doing here? Two different mindsets. We are hiding behind things because we don't want to die. The reason why the devil will attack your husband, attack your children, attack this and that, is you are alive. He knows if he touches it, it will affect you. But when you are dead, he knows that you will have no reaction. He will leave you alone.
Amen.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
What is the resistance of the devil? It is not, hey, you say, Shandabaka, Zika. Sometimes the devil comes. He touches you. You look, oh, it's you. And you don't pay him any mind. Because the goal of the devil is to make you alive. He comes to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, you're hungry, right? Turn this stone into bread. Eat. Jesus looks at him and says, I don't need bread. I eat the word of God. That is a dead man. You see, some of you don't understand because you have never really fasted. Well, you know what I learned? Daddy, I learned something deep. You know, it is impossible to be truly humble until you really fast. There is a fasting you fast. Your body becomes, after 21 days, your voice even changes. You become the most gentle human being on earth. God bless you. How are you doing? Your body becomes so frail and humbled. You become Mr. Peace. Miss Peace everywhere. God is in control. Even when you lay in holiness. Nothing is no longer disrupted. It breaks you. So Jesus was already passing. You see, after a certain amount of days, 21 days, if God is not with you, your body starts to eat itself and you can die. So Jesus is already at the point of death because he's already at the finish line, but he's in the wilderness. There is no food there. So he's making his way back. There is no tent where he can hide under the sun. This is the wilderness. Barren land. So he's hungry. And the devil came because Jesus actually considered that. He tempted him because there was a desire in Christ to eat. That is why he did not come on the first day, the second day, the third day. He knew this guy is too tough. I'll give him time. So he comes at that time where he's most vulnerable. Says, I know you're hungry, just do it. Then Jesus speaks from the spirit, not the flesh. Man shall not live by bread alone. He was not ignorant that you need bread to be alive. Said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He said, bread is just supplementing that the person is already eating, which is the word of God. So even if that is not there, it is not the main recipe of life. The devil was resisted. You, when something just shakes you immediately, the blood. He knows I got you. You're not dead. Because there is a certain mindset that is not in you. Jesus understood no demon can touch him. Do you know who he is? Jesus understood that he came from above. You think you came from Mississippi? When somebody asks you, where are you from? Kansas City, Missouri. Your first thought is not, I was sent by God on earth. Oh, but do you mean my spiritual assignment, or do you mean my physical life? The spiritual has not overtaken your biological birth. So that shows that carnality is still reigning above your spiritual life. Because if you understand that you did not choose to be born with your parents, you were sent through your parents. So I'm coming to an end, but I want you to hear this. Let this mind be in you. Allow it. You see, when you are dead, they want to dress you anyhow they will. You're not in control. No, are you? You see, your clapping is because you're afraid. Is it not true? When somebody is gone, they will dress you the way they want you to dress you. Liars will come to your funeral and say, he was my best friend. I remember in 1665 when we fought. They'll come up with all sorts of stories. Some will even come up. Last night we were just having a call. Oh God. It's because they know at that time that you can't do nothing about it. Do you realize when the Lord Jesus died on the cross? The Lord is gone. They wrap him up in linen. They buried him the way they wanted to. They didn't even prepare his body. They were going to do it the next after the Sabbath. They buried him just like a commoner. But they didn't know that that happened because Jesus did not really die. So they could not do rites of death to somebody who is alive. He's just absent from the body. They thought that you are dead, but they did not know they could not finish you.
Come on.
See it for 2 seconds. So don't misunderstand where you are. Understand that where you are is provoking you to receive a certain mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God. Are you in the form of God?
Yes.
Thought it not robbery to be equal to God. That is the mindset you're being advised to have. What does it mean to be equal to God? We are not talking about, it is not talking about, Let me explain this so that you understand it. Okay, let me use this explanation. Do you know that Jesus came to break the yoke of bondage, right? Yes. But he came to give you a yoke. He came to give you another yoke. What is a yoke? Let me use, sir, you look like an angel. Let me use you. Stand right here. Come, my son, come. Okay. Hold each other's hand. Now, in Africa, this is normal, by the way. I don't know why you're laughing. You are called by God, but you have a yoke of bondage. Try to go that way and pull him the other way. So what that shows is that they are not equally yoked because they are going two different paths. So Jesus came to break this yoke. Come. Hold his hand now. Now, because they are equally yoked, whatever labor they are doing, they are going together. Go together. There's no resistance. But notice this. The point of a yoke is this. You can let go of the hands now. The point of a yoke is this. A yoke was used on bulls, on ox, to plow. So a yoke is always involved where there is an assignment.
That's good.
Are you listening to me? So when he's saying being in the form of God, thought it, notice it was what? A thought.
Yeah.
Not to be robbery, to be equal with God. What does that mean? The equality was that they shared in the same destiny. And also Jesus being God, they shared in the same person. Jesus said, you are in me and I am what? In you. Unless that happens, you can do what? Nothing. You are called the body of who? Christ. It means you have become one with him as he is one with his Father. So by that union, you have become equal.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Are you getting this? You see, the problem is religion will tell you this is wrong, but it's actually biblical. Jesus said, Father, let them be one with you as I am one with you. That was Jesus' prayer point. As we are one, let them become one of us. So God wants us to join into the family and become one. Not become different people in the family. One person. To join into him. When this happens, the deep calleth unto what? Deep. When you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, emergency from heaven immediately. Because God sees an extension of him somewhere in Simi Valley, somewhere in California,
amen.
Somewhere in America,
amen.
Somewhere in Asia, somewhere in Africa, calling unto himself. The highest privilege, we possess. Can you hear me?
Yes.
The highest privilege we possess as Christians, especially those who are born of revelation, is that we know something others don't know. Yes. Is that we can be in a position that your prayer matters more than anybody around you to God.
Amen.
The volume is not the prayer. Can I get a chair? Bring me a chair. I'm going to show this. I showed this to JT and Elena yesterday trying to explain something. Let me show you how it looks like spiritually. Please put it here. Okay? Now, I want you to watch this, right? Uncle Fahed, come say hi to me. Let's say I am talking to you, okay? We are having deep conversation. I am not God, but we are pretending. I am not God, but we are what?
Pretending.
I am engaging with him, but you are waiting. You can't just talk to me because you have to wait for me to be done. Okay? So I am engaging with him, so you have to wait your turn. Right? He's talking to me, I'm talking to him, I'm talking to him, I'm talking to him. Somebody else comes. Bishop Brazil, come. Come. He comes, but his dimension is higher than him, based on the privilege. So he's able to override you for a second. I'll say, I'll be back to you. He comes. Now we are talking again. We are talking, engaging his request. Then now, my sons want to talk to me. Come. Because they are my sons, they can sit on my lap and interrupt you. And I will say, hold on. Is everything okay? Do you need something? Immediately, my attention.
Teaching, good.
Woo! Notice, they didn't need an excuse me what. They broke protocol. To them, this is daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
They can just come and sit on him.
Yeah.
And it is not a problem.
Wow.
You can't come and just sit. Woo!
Man, teaching, good.
It is a different thing immediately. It doesn't matter. Okay, let's change it again. Join them, Uncle Fahed. You are calling on God, okay? You are calling on God. Be in prayer. Apostle, join them. If two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst, right?
Yeah.
One can set 1,000 to flight. Two can set 10,000. So they have joined in prayer. Join hands in prayer. Join hands in prayer. Fire, fire, bear, higher, here, higher, here, fire. So they are in deep prayer. Don't miss it. They're in deep prayer.
Fire, fire, fire.
Fire, fire. They are praying for serious breakthrough. Okay? But my kids, okay, me, I am on this side. I'm about to attend to them. They call me and they run to me. Notice, just stand up. Call me. I was going to them, but call me. Dad, I'll come to them first. Are you guys okay? Everything is fine. Notice, it is not because they have prayed.
Too good. Too good.
The speed of your prayer being answered is more about your position,
amen,
not your prayer.
Amen.
It's okay. I don't know if you understood that.
Yes.
Many of you think it is the level of praying. I was in the mountains praying for as a righteous man. And the Lord said, why are you? But somebody else, if I am busy, which I am a lot of times, there are certain people, if they call, I have to drop everything and know if everything is okay. Why? It is the positioning. Not that the other people are not important, but there are people who may be more important based on where they are. You don't choose your family. You don't choose your family. It is what it is. What you have is what you have, right? But they're your family, and because of that, they have access. You can't do anything about it. Well, Jesus made you his family. Whether you like it or not, you have access.
Amen.
I feel like you can't really hear what I'm trying to say. So a certain understanding is what God is looking for to be close to you. Not your many prayers and you see, every time you try to be perfect, God calls it filthy rags. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Don't do this, don't do that. Filthy rags. Yes, is it out of you or are you resisting? When Christ has changed you, you don't resist things. It is no longer what you do. It is not even a desire. But if you're resisting and you're trying to be perfect, filthy rags. Look at the person next to you, say, privileges.
Privileges.
This is no black privilege, white privilege, it's Christ's privilege.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
So, as a believer, what is the measure of your privilege? You can increase it. It's up to you. It's totally up to you. It's not up to God. The Bible says no word of Samuel ever fell to the ground. No word. Anything Samuel said, God backed up. To the point that Samuel wanted to anoint the wrong person, God had to intervene before he spoke. He saw David's bigger, older brother. He said, look at him. He's handsome, tall. Surely, he's there. If the moment he wanted to pour, God said, hey, wallet. He said, God does not see as man sees. Stop. So it means many prophecies Samuel gave, he gave it as a man. Some people didn't get it. He didn't prophesy because he saw a vision. God is teaching a master prophet that, hey, listen, remember, God does not see as man sees. Because when he anointed Saul, he anointed him because of his appearance. God told him, there's a guy coming called Saul, this is what you will do. But when he saw him say, wow, look how handsome and tall he is, he showed you Samuel's thought process. Surely he's anointed of God. You know, you can have a look that is anointed. Black, African, tall, skinny. It's true. Now, there are people who are created to stand in front of people. It's destiny, and there are people who are not. That doesn't mean that they are less. Doesn't mean that. So the question is this now. What faith are you using? Because that reveals either you are dead or alive. And if you are dead, then Jesus has been made alive. And if you are alive, then you have denied Jesus. Whoever shall lose his life shall what? Gain it. So as long as your ways are reigning, Jesus is out of the picture. I'll say it one more time. As long as you and your dictation of things are reigning, Jesus is out of the way. That is why for me, I know God has given people all different paths. Because your career and your calling go hand in hand. Amen. They cannot be separated because they build a platform for your calling. That is why Jesus told Peter, you will become fisher of men. Jesus never stopped him from catching fish. If anything, Jesus actually told him, you see the strategy of catching fish, you will use that to save souls. So your career and calling always go hand to hand.
Amen.
Or hand in hand. I will never tell you to stop acting if you're an actor. If anything, I want you to have the best career.
Amen.
If you are a singer, I will never stop you from singing. I want you to do it even better. If you are in business, why am I telling you this? Because who knows what God is going to do with it at the end? But if you live for people, you will abort. For real. But if you live for people, you will deny the privileges that God has ordained for you. Look at me here. I came from a family of musicians. God was talking to me since I was six. God never told me once, don't sing. Not once. It is when I was about to, when now he came to me and told me, you have 7 years to finish the music thing because after that you will not be able to do it anymore. That's when I stopped. And it wasn't because of anything, but it positioned me. Do you know how many people met Jesus through that journey? My son Mike, who is my first spiritual son, where did we meet? Give him a mic, please. My son, where did we meet?
Recording studio.
And I met you right after you had come from doing what? You know, they say there's no high higher than the most high. But they want to hear. Look at him laughing.
Smoking.
Huh?
Smoking.
He was just outside casually with another friend of mine. And then he came into the room and he heard me talking. No, seriously. Is this not true,
it's
Mike?
It's true. It's true.
He heard me talking and I was just talking in general. You know that day, the man dropped everything.
Amen. It's true. Amen.
How many years ago is that?
Nearly 10.
10 years ago?
Yeah.
If 10 years ago I wasn't in that place, you would not have an apostle up there right now.
Amen. Amen.
Saving souls, amen. Delivering people, him and his family.
Amen.
You know, Mike, a lot of people think I have changed that don't know me. They think I came from somewhere. This is a man who's known me for 10 years. Anything different?
Same guy.
Just more handsome.
New swag.
Same things. Nothing changed. You never know what God is doing with people. Listen to me. You know, in Africa, we say, put this in the back of your head instead of the back of your mind. You don't know what God is doing with people. You don't know what God is going to use them to. Do you know how many people undermined me? Do you know how many people laughed at me? Today, those people are looking for access. They can't have it anymore. It left. And if I see them,
amen.
Lee, come. JT, come. Let me. Blood, come try and say hi. We used to know each other. God bless you. God bless you. Stop him.
We used to know each other. We used to.
Understand this. Anyone who did not see God's purpose in your life, anyone who undermined God's destiny in you,
amen.
Because of what you are knowing today and learning today,
amen.
They will know not only that you are favored by God, but you are privileged by God. Amen. Apostle, how many times were we undermined? Too many times. Do you know why Apostle is here? He's one of the people that always prayed for me and encouraged me. That is why he sits here with me, because he knows. The reason why I always look at Daddy Donko and I always say, Daddy, you have no idea how many times on Facebook he would advise me, give me counsel. All the time he would tell me, remember, evangelism is the bloodline of the church. Do things this way. As long as you do this, God will raise you. In time. That's why they are sitting here. Do you think I'm honoring them for nothing? Now you imagine one good counsel of encouragement is better than 10 million people who don't believe in you.
So good.
As long as one person can see what God is going to do, that is the only witness you need. The Bible says everything is established in the witness of what? Two people. Not 10 million people. Oh, they don't believe in me. Who are they? Unless you die. Thank you, Mama. Ain't nothing happening. Let me get my accent right. Ain't nothing happening. Be able to understand that you can enter into the place of privilege with God. Posture. Posture. There are people in my life that benefit now, not because they were good to me, simply because I have no choice. They are part of me. I'm serious. A lot overseas. A lot of them. But it's okay. It was their blessing in disguise.
Amen.
When God lifts you, people can just use... Apostle is, that's my... Oh, wow, special treatment immediately. Why? What is on you is benefiting others even when they don't like you.
That's good.
The overflow is in influence. Imagine when you... Won't you like that? Do you realize... Let me talk about myself. I know I'm about to finish, but let me talk about myself for 10 seconds. You know, many times people will say, well, church is about talking about Jesus. No, you can never talk about God without your own experience. Doesn't exist. If you want to hear about Peter, go read about him. If you came to Revelation Church, you want to hear my experience. And I am using Peter to show you that this is true. That's really it. Do you realize there is no time? I get on my knees, I open my mouth, and it doesn't come. There is no time I can say, Holy Spirit, and His presence is not there. There's no time I have a need for God and He doesn't show up. He used to be like this sometimes. Then I figured it out, because this is not something that is His responsibility. It was on my side. Listen to me, children of God. You don't only have access to call on God, you have access to sit on His lap.
Amen. Amen.
You are His child. God will drop everything to attend to you. The whole earth is His people. But anyone who stood against Israel, He smashed you. God has favorites. I don't know one person who came after me that survived. Not because I did anything. He Himself, He will deal with them. I don't know one person. Before the Lord. Especially if you have ever come in contact. Even worse. I literally don't know one person. You see, when your Abba's favorite, He will beat people in advance for you.
Amen.
Amen.
He will clear the road for you. You are clapping. I'll give you two keys to help you get to this place.
Amen.
Number one, Yeah, you can write. Some people want to take notes. They say, sit 2 seconds. I'll give you 2 points. I won't even expound on them. 2 seconds. Prophet Ron, Versace, Versace. You're looking nicer. Hey, the anointing has really touched you. Apostle, Apostle. It's deep. Prophet Ron, you're killing it. Hey, it's powerful. Power. The first one is embrace God's word in its totality. In its totality. So many people just want what is convenient with what they like. Nope. Embrace the word of God in its totality. The reason why Jesus went and got baptized, he said, I am doing this to fulfill all righteousness. And when he did that, his father said, I am pleased. His last assignment was to bow before men. And to be cleansed where there was no sin. God bowing to a mere man that he created. But that is the protocol of the flesh. If you have elders before you, you cannot just go. You have to find them. So, embrace God's word in its totality. Number two, die. Well, let me say it the way African preachers would say, die. Your enemy shall die. Die. The dying part is the absorption of God's word that you have embraced. If Jesus said, you are my brother, don't say, oh Lord, but you are my Lord. He said, no, I don't tell secrets to my servants. You want secrets? You are my friend. So Jesus has created all these lots that need to be occupied. Do you want to be his friend? Do you want to be his servant? Which one do you want? Do you want to just be an acquaintance that says, praise God, praise Jesus, it's the end of it? You want to be just a worshiper? Jesus is saying this to his disciples. I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends. Because a master does not reveal the secrets of his house to his servants. They are just given orders. But you are my friends. So I can confide in you. If you want to be his child, you will be under his care. But that doesn't mean he will tell you secrets, because secrets are not given to children. You will not lack anything. You will be taken care of. When you cry, he will be there. But he does not mean he will share secrets with you, because there are things you can't digest because you're still a child. A friend, when he calls, Jesus said, I stick closer than a friend. It means the friendship dimension is deep with God, because when you call, he will come. You need him, he's there. You need this, you are his friend. He can confide in you, you can confide in him. The problem of being a child is your mindset can be wrong, whereby you are trying to impress somebody you cannot impress. You are trying to do, watch me, watch me. All that is cool, but it doesn't change his heart for you. So you don't need to act. Look at your neighbor, say, no acting.
No acting.
I can't hear you.
No acting.
I can't hear you.
No acting.
You don't need to impress something, someone that doesn't need you impressing them. It means nothing to him. God has unconditional love. It means there are no conditions. I'll say that one more time. The Lord has unconditional love, meaning there are no what? Condition. So don't create them. Be dead. He loves you the way he loves you. Hey, it is what it is. Don't try to create conditions. Now God is going to love me more. Now God is. Don't do that to yourself. It's a lot for no reason. I want you to stand up and you're going to pray. And your prayer will be very simple. Lord, open my eyes to truly see what Jesus has done. Lord, open my eyes to see what Jesus has done for me. Today I want to receive it in its totality, not partially. Open your mouth and pray.
Thanks for joining us. We trust that what you have received today will change your life forever. Please follow us on social media at Prophet Lovi and Revelation Church LA for updates, events, and teachings. If you are interested in connecting with this teaching, head over to prophetlovi.com or revelationchurchla.org and click on Giving. Revelation Church is located in Simi Valley, California, and has prophetic service every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to see you there. Until next time, Shalom.